Well, I want to bring you greetings from the church by side of road where I go. That is the name of the church, not what road. It's where my pastor, Ambrose Carroll, is the current pastor. He's been there about 7 years. I really enjoy him. I've been a member about 3 years, and so it's really good, really good congregation. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I think that's it.
You have a clicker?
I have a clicker. I think it should go. All right, thanks for the assistance. Thank you. Okay. First off, I want to say that I'm not a pastor, poet, or speaker, but I do believe that global change, global climate is real. I believe that global warming is real, and I believe that gentrification is real, and I feel that it affects us all. In the picture above right here, this picture, the one on top was taken in 1920. It's in Montana. And the picture below is the very same location in 2008. So less than 100 years, all the glaciers and ice structures have completely almost melted away. So you think about global warming and what does that mean to the planet. And so I really do believe that global warming is such a thing, because some people don't believe it. You know, and I wanted to do a scripture, and remember, I'm not a pastor, so I wanted to do a real easy scripture. And so I went to the first page, and what did I see? So Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And when I think about God's creation, I think he creates things, you know, perfect and with balance. And I think about heaven, and my idea of heaven is, you know, peace and maybe friends and love and just a lot of positive things, a lot of positive energy. And it's a great place to be. But then he also created the earth, right? And then the earth is round, and it has trees and oceans and all these wonders, these mountains. Like, it's great, right? It's good. And then you look closer, and you're like, oh, man, what is this? And I know God didn't do that. And then I ask, you know, the why and how. How did the earth get like this? Why did it get the earth get like this? And I'm born and raised in Oakland, been here most of my life. I'm a product of Oakland, very proud product of Oakland, California. And, you know, it's very community-centered. Like, it's very diverse. A lot of different things, raised, upbringing. Went to Oakland Public Schools, went to Oakland Tech High School, and went to Bret Harte Montero Middle School. So I'm very deep-rooted in the community. But now, when you walk down the street, I see construction everywhere, and it shows me the gentrification that's taking place. This is right at the Ashby BART station, and where there's always construction going on. You can't go anywhere in the Bay Area where there's not construction going on. And I think about the new constructions in my neighborhood, because this is just in MacArthur. This is MacArthur, so just like 4 blocks from Oakland Tech, where I used to go up and used to catch the BART every day. And so I get excited. Oh, yeah, they're building new apartments. And so I go and Google and say, oh, how much these apartments cost? I'm like, oh, man, I cannot afford that. What's wrong with you? Nobody I know can afford that. That's too much. And so what it does is it drives people who lives most of their life here to the outer cities, to suburbs like Tracy or Stockton. And then you go to Tracy, where a 2-bedroom apartment may be like $1,200, which is pretty good. And then maybe like Stockton, you might get like $960. But that's great when you compare it to like Oakland or Emeryville or Berkeley, where it's just, it's not a real thing. You really can't afford to even live. And so I say that to say, what can we do to stop these plagues? What can we do? And I say Green the Church. And what is Green the Church? It was founded by Reverend Dr. Ambrose Carroll in about 2014. That is my uncle. He's a great man. Done a lot of work for the community, the Bay Area. Just love this idea of Greener Church. But what Greener Church actually is it's a sustainability initiative designed to tap into the power and purpose of the African-American church as it expands the role of churches as centers for environmental and economic resilience. So you say that, and people still say, what is that? So, so I say, well, what do we do, right? So Greener Church empowers church leadership and lay people to develop practical solutions in economic and environmental issues that bring equity into the Black community. So recently I went to Louisiana, and I was at my dad's church, and he was trying to explain Greener Church. And then so he asked, could I stand up and explain it to a lady? And I was talking to her. And we were having a conversation, and I mentioned, oh, yeah, something about EJ. She said, well, what's EJ? I said, well, it's environmental justice. She said, well, what's that? She said, I can't be Green the Church. I don't know what that is. And I was like, well, Green the Church is not just one thing. It's a multiple things. It's nothing you can't tie in the Green the Church in the community. And so I began to ask her, this is the South. We were in Louisiana. And I said, do you have any members that plant or grow anything? She said, yeah, we have two families. They grow okra and fresh tomatoes and some greens, maybe, something like that. I was like, okay. I said, what about quilting? Do you do any quilting? She said, yeah, I used to do that a long time ago. I said, well, that's what Greener Church is. Quilting is a part of repurposing, recycling, lessening your carbon footprint, and also telling a story. And then, you know, we continued to talk about the farms. And I told her that you can go to a local produce store and buy vegetables, and they don't have seeds in them. And I told her that that's very important because we don't know what we're putting in our bodies and how damaging that is, especially the Black and brown communities. You might go somewhere like maybe even Higher Berkeley, which has got something like the Berkeley Bowl, right? Fresh food. I don't know if I can find that anywhere in Oakland. And so that's why it's important to go and actually what you're already doing. They're already farming. They're already being green. They're already doing it, but they're not bringing it in the church. So what I'm with Green Church is bringing those components back to the church, back to the community to be able to share. And you may or may not be doing it. And so that's why you bring it to the table and say, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't be eating those watermelons with no seeds, or maybe I should not be eating those tomatoes with no seeds and stuff like that. I want to skip that one. Greener Church also has three pillars. Amplifying green theology, which are green sermons, like being stewards of the earth in all its domain. Promoting sustainable best practices, like planting or hydroponics, anything like that. And then bearing power for change. So we believe in you know, sometimes you might have to do legislation or do some footwork. And so we definitely believe that. We got some key programs. Some key programs that we do are Green to Church Summits, Ambassadors Training Programs, the National Best Practice Calls. We did that. That was really good. Green Heroes, where we highlighted individuals. Like we highlighted this individual that was in Texas. He had a honey farm. And that was really good for the community. He gave it right back to the community at no cost. And then, of course, we do workshops. But the Greener Church Summits, I want to tap on that a little, because the summits, each year we go to locations. So last year we went to the Hayward Church, and the theme was the state of the Black church. And we talked about what is it to be a Black church in California right now with in the Bay Area, where people are moving out. So we don't have as large a congregation. So what does that mean? Downsizing, we have these buildings, cost of living is going up. What does that really mean? And so, in 2017, we went to Charlotte, North Carolina, and the theme was energy conservation. And we talked to Duke Energy. We said, is it solar? Is it wind tunnels? How can we be more efficient? Is it just changing the light bulb? Is it getting LED bulbs in the ceiling? And that was the overall topic. And I'm really excited because in 2019, we solidified it. And we'll be going to, St. Louis, Missouri. So we'll be in St. Louis, Missouri in October. And the overall theme is going to be water. So water conservation, water in God, water in nature, earth is going to be really good. We just put out to save the day. We're really, really excited about this next summit that's coming up. Working really good with some other nonprofits like the Nature's Conservancy about what can we actually do. We're actually going to go forth and actually get like five or three churches, say, hey, do y'all want a garden? Do y'all want a farm? Do y'all want a solar? See what the need is, because everywhere we go, it's a different need. And for people who go to the summit, it's a way to be a part of the conversation, because a lot of times we are not a part of the conversation. Where I was the last to know, and like even the MacArthur bar station, when they're building, we didn't know they were building it, and we didn't know how it was going to affect the people living around, how it was going to disenfranchise people. And this tends to get people in front of the table, or at least at the table, because a lot of people in Black and Brown communities are not even at the table when these things are being talked about. I just read an article online about Beyonce Knowles not partnering with a company just because there was no diversity in the room. And that's important. So you got to say, no, look, this is going to represent me, but there's no diversity. So you talk about diversity and inclusion, but it's none of us in here. So you really got to be mindful of that. Other things we do is lobbying activists and urging access. Last year we did the People's Climate March. It was a great turnout. It was like 20,000 people in San Francisco. It was a lot of hard work. It was one of my first marches in a long time. In the march, we... Oh, no. That was a great picture. what do I want to say about the march? I wanted to say something. But it really brought people. It was justice, faith, jobs, and justice. And that was the first time where they ever came together in that type of atmosphere. And so that was a great, great experience. And so again, what does Green the Church mean? And Green the Church means using the resources and abilities and things you already have, bringing it back to the church community and pushing it out to the greater, larger community that are disenfranchised, that don't have what we have, or even they may have what we have, but still have it for. Continue to recycle and compost, and how that differs from one city to the next. I go to some cities and I say, I went to a church and I said, can't get the Wi-Fi password. They said, Wi-Fi? We ain't got no internet here. and internet is something that I think is just there, but they said they don't have an infrastructure even to have telephone and internet service there. And so the Bay Area is a great place, and I think that Green the Church is on the cutting edge. I'm not my uncle, but I believe in what he's doing. I believe in his great work. I believe in Reverend Earl Cotine and everybody. I believe in churches. And so I think that's it. I don't know if that got to the point what Green the Church is. I'm definitely here for questions and seeing where we can definitely go with this movement. Like I said, the next summit will be in October. It'll be a great experience to just get people out. And just a plug, we're doing the African American Origins before Christianity. So that will be Saturday, April 13th at the Church by Cider Road. If anyone is interested, it'd be great to come out and see what they're talking about. And that's Green Church. That's my Green Church. Thank you.